First Samuel, chapter 28. One night with a witch. I had thought for several weeks, even though I don't normally time things with holidays, except maybe Christmas. Sometimes I will. Just depends on how the Lord's leading. And I had thought about this week with Halloween coming up. And I've done it before. I'm not going to preach a sermon on the roots of Halloween or even go into that very much tonight. But I thought I would come at this from a different direction tonight. You know, we can talk about what we're against, but it's a lot better to talk about the foundation in the Lord and what the Lord is for and what He's against. And then we line up all of our beliefs on that foundation. I get concerned when I see around Halloween Christians trying to find a way to do the things that the world does and just call it something else. And it concerns me greatly, but I trust the Spirit of the Lord and the people at Faith Harvest that when you know the Word of God, that the Spirit of God then is going to quicken within you and is going to guide you and direct you in those things. So I want to begin tonight. After we pray, we're going to read in 1 Samuel chapter 28 just one of the most bizarre and fascinating stories in the Bible and just use that as a springboard to talk about what God's Word says about some of these things. So let's go to the Lord. Just join me in prayer as we ask for God's blessing on the Word. Father, I come, Lord, not as one with great knowledge, but, Lord, as one who has searched Your Word in this area. And I ask, Lord, that You would give me strength and clarity of thought, Lord God, that I would bring Your Word under the anointing of Your Spirit. I pray, God, that not a word that goes forth would return to You void, because that's the promise that You have given us. And I pray, Lord, that You would make Your servants here at Faith Harvest wise and shrewd in their dealings with the children of men. Lord, I pray that You would open eyes, open blind eyes even tonight, Lord God. And Lord, that in the days ahead You would create within each one here, just impart a spirit of discernment, Lord God, that we would know what You are speaking to us and what it means to come out from the things of the world. And Lord, how You would have us to live and to behave as children of light. And so tonight, I just yield this to You and ask for Your help, for the assistance of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You would speak what You desire to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning with verse 3. As we jump into this passage of Scripture, Saul is very concerned because the Philistines are mounting another attack upon his armies, upon the people of Israel. Now, Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Why did he do that? We'll see in a few moments why. But he did it by the word of the Lord. Saul has, in many ways, has not done the will of God and has rejected the word of the Lord and is already suffering for it. But at some time previous to this, he has followed the Lord in this area and has put all of the mediums and all of the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was greatly afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." And I believe perhaps the King James uses the word witch, because we've heard for so many times of the witch of Endor. Before we read any further, it's interesting how someone who has known the Word of God, I was talking with someone before the service, it's amazing. Here is a man, and this is where we have to be careful in our walk with God. Here is a man who has been obedient to God in the larger arena of his ministry. He has cast all of the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. setting an example for the people that God's Word says this is an abomination, and He puts them out of the land. And then in His own moment of crisis, rather than turning again to the Lord in repentance, that you've got to understand, because I know I just read that he couldn't get a word from God. He couldn't get a word from God because he has excused himself over and over and over again and has not truly repented, has not had true heart repentance and turned from his sins. So God is not speaking to Saul. When God is not speaking to you, just mark this down. When God is not speaking to you, the best thing to do is to find out why. Because no substitute can ever bring life to you. No substitute will ever bring anything good. Substitutes will only bring destruction. So when God is not speaking to you, the first order of business is to find out why. And to deal with, let God deal with your heart in repentance and walk it out. Sometimes it's a period of time that he's just saying, trust me by faith. I don't want to talk right now. You're waiting in faith upon the next word from God, and you just depend upon the written word in the meantime. But when there is a crisis, when there is a need for direction, God will speak in time if our heart is right with Him. And if He does not speak, you dare not go and try to get the wisdom or the word that you need from man. Now, I don't mean from godly counsel within the body of Christ, but I mean to try to go to self-help methods or occult methods or psychology or to whatever the world has to offer. Don't do that. Find out why God is not speaking and stay in there until God gives you what you need to hear, what He wants you to hear. So Saul calls and asks his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. The very thing that he has cast out of the land, well, here's one who has escaped his edict. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done. See, she does not recognize him at this point. You know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? She feels that it's a trap. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. See, I don't know, and I'll get into this in a moment, I don't know if she's shocked because she's a charlatan and something really happens, or if she's shocked because certainly there are true mediums and spiritists, or if she's shocked because she would have never expected Samuel the prophet to really come, and when he comes, somehow she suddenly knows, whoa, here's Samuel, here's Saul, and she's just overwhelmed with the shock of this thing. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment because I promise you, if it hasn't already happened in your own mind, this raises, for those who know the Word of God, this raises all kind of theological problems, this story. And I will also promise you that the church world down through the ages, you can read Matthew Henry, you can read different scholars, different commentators on the Bible, and you're going to find that some fall into one camp on it and some fall into another. God doesn't give us the exact answers on some things. And what I'm saying is, there are those who, because, as you will see, God has forbidden spiritism, He has forbidden mediumship, so how would God allow for her to actually be able to bring up a prophet of God? But there are many things to consider in this. And so some will say, well, this was a demonic apparition, and that it was a deceptive thing that came up, that it wasn't really Samuel. The others will say, well, it really was Samuel, even though God has forbidden this, that God in His sovereignty is going to really reveal something to Saul right now, and so He allows this to happen. Others say, well, there's a mistake here in the first, not a mistake in the Word of God, but it's saying that she called him up, and the Bible says that, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and so she's not calling him down. How can that be? And so there's this just this whole gamut of problems to try to figure out in this passage of Scripture. Can I tell you what I believe, and then you can take it and you can study out all the different avenues if you want to. Because I believe so strongly in the accuracy of the Word of God. It says, now Samuel said to Saul, in verse 15. Now that may cause me problems. Nevertheless, the Bible says, now Samuel said to Saul. I want you to remember, some of you were in Wednesday night class a few weeks ago when I did some question and answer things, and we talked about where the Old Testament believers were until the time of Christ. We talked about heaven, we talked about hell, we talked about Sheol and Hades, we talked about the underworld and the division. We talked about how Old Testament believers were in the underworld. They were not in hell as in torment, but they were in the underworld, that part that was also translated hell in the Bible. But they were in the underworld, and that Jesus, the Bible says, before He ascended, He descended and brought captivity captive and delivered those who were in what was called Abraham's bosom in the earth, delivered them into the presence of God that we call paradise, in the presence of God. And that in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches that Satan had the keys of death and hell. And so I just throw that out for you just that you can do some mental thinking on this thing, because it's not, the answer to this isn't pertinent to our lesson tonight as to how it happened or whether it was really Samuel or not. But in the Old Testament, see, I don't believe this could have happened in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Satan had the keys of death and hell. Here's the medium. Here is a witch who is operating under demonic powers. Certainly nothing happens except by permission of God. But according to my understanding of where the Old Testament believers were until the time of Christ and the resurrection, then he could have been called up if God allowed it. So here I believe the Word has a reason for saying, now Samuel said to Saul. If you have a problem with that, that's okay. If you want to say, well, it was a demonic manifestation that impersonated Samuel, that's okay. But why would a demon come up and speak the words of truth and judgment of God to Saul? I don't know. So Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, he doesn't reveal to him what he should do. Then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute His fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice and I have put my life in my hands and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. So his servants together with the woman urged him and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it, and she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. The next day, according to the Word of God, Saul was killed in battle. Turn with me to some verses of Scripture. I'm going to give you five verses of Scripture that Saul would have known. Well, one of them he wouldn't have because it's about him.
It comes back to Him. But five verses of Scripture that give us the major categorical warnings in the Word of God that God gives, covering a broad range of occult activity. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. This scripture is the broadest categorically. It gives a whole list. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That's those who worshiped Molech and burned their children in sacrifice. Or one who practices witchcraft. Or a soothsayer, that's a fortune teller. Or one who interprets omens. Or a sorcerer. Or one who conjures spells. Or a medium or a spiritist. Or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listened to the soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Why has God not appointed such for them? Because when we come to the Lord, He becomes everything in our as far as guidance. When we need an answer, we either get it from God or He says, wait, but we depend upon Him for the answer. We are not to turn to other things. This will become clear as we look at this, because when we turn to other things, then we open the door for deception. I want to just delve for a moment into something I've said many times. How many times have I told you our God is a legal God? What I mean by that is that God operates according to His law and He does not violate His own word. Therefore, He promises blessings for certain things and cursings for other things. In other words, when God says, if you will do this and this and this and this, then I will protect you. There is a shield of protection around the believer who is walking in obedience to the best of the light that they have, walking in obedience of the knowledge of the Word of God, and not being in violation of specific, blatant things in the Word of God. But when a believer sees something like this, look at this list again. Deuteronomy 18, let's see, 9 through 14. I just want to read a few of them. One who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. So when a believer goes to a seance and begins trying to call up the dead, then it's totally different for the unbeliever. The unbeliever is already lost in trespasses and sins. Certainly he does open a doorway to more demonic activity. But when a believer comes and he begins to violate something that is this clear in the Word of God and this dangerous according to God, then he opens a doorway. In order for me to explain this to you, you've got to understand that we have a skewed understanding of what demonization is in the Bible. In other words, we use, because the King James uses the word demon-possessed several times, we think of the extreme. We think of the example where somebody is totally out of control and their head's rolling around as in a movie and they're throwing up all over the place and all these crazy things are happening, which is possible. But we think of that and then we look at our nice little church family and ourselves and these are two things, two universes apart. But in the New Testament, there's no such thing in the Greek as the word demon-possessed. There is only a word which means demonized, which can mean anything from giving yourself over to demonic spirits to simply being harassed and harassed, giving ground to the enemy. And a believer may certainly not be demon-possessed as we speak of demon possession, but a believer may be harassed because he opens the door by violating the Word of God. God has promised protection, but when you break the law of God, then God's hands are tied in the sense that He's not going to bless disobedience. So that protective shield is lifted, and Satan says, I have legal access here, at least in this area. So he can begin to bring nightmares, or he can begin to bring oppression, or he can bring confusion. He can do all manner of things to the believer who opens the door to demonic realms. And there are things that you do that open the door to demonic realms. Turn to and all of these are doorways that I just mentioned. Turn to Deuteronomy 4, Go backwards. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. Deuteronomy 4:19 says, "And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage." In the time that this was written, astrology was already a highly developed religion, and is no less a religion today. When you walk through the checkout line in the grocery store and you see the little horoscopes rolled up, it's a doorway. It's a doorway to demonic things. It is an abomination to God, according to the Word of God. Turn to Leviticus. It's backwards again. Leviticus 19, verse 31. "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." You go over to Leviticus 20, verse 6. "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from my people." God is saying that when we turn to anyone else for our guidance and our counsel than Him, that it's like being unfaithful to a husband or a wife. We're being unfaithful to God. And then turn over to 1 Chronicles. You're going to go to the right now. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Verse 13, we come to where the book of Chronicles records why Saul died. He had already had the promise that the kingdom was taken from him because of his disobedience. This is why he died. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Pretty stiff penalty, huh? I would say so. Do you think that God's opinion of witchcraft has changed any in all of these years? I want you to be clear on these matters, because Christians today will say, "Well, I just have this little object. It doesn't mean anything to me." We're going to talk about that in a few moments. But I want to just go through a whole list. I want to educate you. Most of you would already know this, but I want you to hear this afresh, and maybe there are some here who don't know these things. So I want to take you through this list of things tonight that are all under these categories in one way or another. Some of these are practices. Some of these are words that you will hear, catchwords that are associated with practices. And I want you to hear them so that when you hear them, you know what they are. So the first thing is fortune-telling. God forbids fortune-telling. That includes palm reading, crystal ball gazing, numerology, going to psychics, calling psychic hotlines. All of this is an abomination to God. Tarot cards are an abomination to God. Ouija boards are an abomination to God. If you have a Ouija board, you need to burn it. You need to get it out of your house. It is an open doorway to demonic spirits. You say, "Oh, I thought it was just a game by Hasbro." That's the way they market it. That's the way they've marketed it ever since I was a kid. But ever since I was a kid, people have been being told by familiar spirits through Ouija boards. Ouija boards are a lot older than Hasbro's toy being marketed. Ouija boards go back into the Middle Ages and even beyond. And there are other forms of it before that. And so when some of you have heard me say this, when I was a teenager, when I was a kid, I say this with all respect to my parents. They didn't know any better. When I was a kid, we got a Ouija board for Christmas one year. And we sat around and played with it. And at some point, I became convicted. I read something somewhere about witchcraft, and I read about the Ouija board, and I realized what was going on and got rid of that, didn't have anything else to do with it. When I was in high school, it became a fad again. It just sort of broke out as a fad, and so people were bringing them to school. Our study hall was very lax, and so people kind of visited with each other. And so they were playing with the Ouija board. And actually, during a recess, I walked into a room and some friends of mine were playing with a Ouija board. And I said, "Ask it who controls it." And they just looked at me funny. And, "Okay, who controls you?" Zoom, 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 S-A-T-A-N. It just freaked them out. I read of someone else who got a Ouija board, two or three friends that got together. They bought a Ouija board, and they immediately took it home, put their fingers on it, and it immediately began to spell out the mass murder that they were to commit at their school, all the details, how it was to be carried out, every weapon that they were to buy, everything that was to be done. But they had enough ingrained moral stand within them to not do what it said. Nevertheless, you're not subconsciously just doing that. Those are direct orders and direct messages from demonic spirits. Seances, any involvement with mediums or spiritists, and this includes necromancy, which is trying to talk to the dead. It's trying to call up the dead. It's trying to talk to the dead. Over the years of ministry, I have been so concerned so many times, and during a time of grief, it is so hard. You just can't hardly deal with this with someone. You have to wait until they get through their time of grief. But so many Christians don't know this, that you don't try to establish contact with someone who's departed. It's against the Word of God. And if you do, I know that there is a certain grieving, and I know what it's like to simply say goodbye. I understand that. But when you begin to hear voices and your departed loved one is moving chairs around or is leaving messages for you and things like that, you need to, instead of be saying, oh, it's cool, so-and-so spoke to me today, you need to understand the Bible says that that is not true and that it is deception and it's the work of demonic spirits. You open your house to demons. You go out to the graveyard to try to talk to your departed loved one. They're not there. They're not there. So who are you talking to? And you're opening the door for a deception. If something does begin to speak to you and begin to respond to you in some way, it's an extremely dangerous thing to do. So all of this spiritist is basically another word for mediums, but spiritualism is a religion. In Florida, most of you have never heard of this probably, but there's a town in north central Florida. We drove through there one time because I had heard of it, and curiosity, I just wanted to drive through there. I wanted to see it. But there's this town down in this swampy, just heavily wooded area. It was during the winter when we passed through, so it was all bleak, dead tree limbs with Spanish moss, real eerie looking, hanging in them. And just, it's 10 degrees cooler there than anywhere else around. The whole town, it's called Casadega, Florida. The whole town is made up of mediums and spiritists. There is a spiritualist church there. It's a church building, but it is the church of spiritism. And their services have to do with contacting the dead. So there are multitudes of people that are into this kind of thing legally. When you do these things, you tie God's hand of protection over your life from demonic spirits. Astrology, any form of horoscope, the I Ching, which is an Eastern form of religion, hypnotism. So many Christians, so many people innocently, not knowing any better, say, oh, I'm going to go to the doctor and let them hypnotize me so that I won't smoke anymore, or whatever it may be. Any time that you make your mind vacant and blank, you come under the control of another, you have opened your mind to the possibility. I'm not saying that it will happen every single time, but you have opened your mind, you've made it an open door for a demonic spirit to write upon or to come in and to begin to bring problems into your life. I'm going to read you a little excerpt. This was from a minister who dealt with this with a young girl. A girl I recently met went to a hypnotist one time in an effort to try and quit smoking. Right after she came out, she literally lost 50% of her ability to remember things. A demon had become attached to the part of her brain that controlled her memory functions, and it wasn't until she confessed this activity before God as a sin, renounced it by telling God that she would never do it again, and then engaged with the demons to leave, in other words, commanded them to leave her in the name of Jesus Christ, that she started to get her memory ability fully restored back to her. It took 2 months before she got it all back, but after the 2 months, all of her memory ability was fully restored back to her by the Lord. 50 people may go to a hypnotist and never draw a demon on them. Another person like this one girl will only go one time and draw the demons. The risk is too great. No Christian should ever take their chances on crossing over into enemy territory, hoping they will come out unharmed. This girl had this 50% memory loss for one solid year until she met me and I told her how to break the demons off of her as a result of going to the hypnotist one time. Her memory loss was so bad during the entire year that she thought she was going to get fired from her job because she could not retain or remember half of what was being told to her by her superiors. This is real. Transcendental meditation, which isn't quite as, the name isn't as popular right now, but it's an Eastern form of meditation that was popular in the 60s and 70s. Crystals, people buy crystals and do all kinds of incantations and things. Witchcraft, don't let someone tell you that there's white witchcraft and that it's good, or that Wicca is okay, and pagan rituals and all of that stuff is okay. It all falls under these categories because it all opens the door to demonic spirits. Satanism, of course, voodoo, channeling, which is again a form of mediumship, channeling so that someone who has departed speaks through you, or so that some spirit being speaks through you. Reincarnation. You know, I mentioned this morning the Hindu, the problems and the situation in India and those who strive, and in Tibet who strive to find freedom from sin and freedom from bondages, and they can't. And what has happened is that their belief system, which is where reincarnation is rooted, they just repackage that and promote it in America. They don't call it Hinduism, and they make it's New Age, and they make it sound exciting, and they make it sound interesting, but it's the same old trap that Hindus fall into, that you have an endless cycle of being born and dying, born and dying, born and dying. And you never get out of that until you reach nirvana. And even if you do reach perfection and get out of that endless cycle, then you cease to be you. You're just absorbed into the oversoul, or what they consider God. Astral projection. How many of you know what astral projection is? Does anybody know what astral projection is? Anybody know what out-of-body experiences are? To try to manipulate the mind in order to send your soul or your spirit out of your body. It is a very real thing that people do. It is a very dangerous thing. It is a very demonically inspired thing, that it sounds appealing to people and they can come into an altered state of consciousness and leave their body, go observe some far distance, come back to their body. But there are many cases where they've encountered demonic spirits in those travels and thought that they weren't going to make it back to their body. And it opens the doorway to all kind of bondages of the enemy in their life. ESP. People repackage these things and say, well, it's just paranormal science. It's not paranormal science. It's the same old lie that was told in the garden. You will be as gods. That's all it is. Role-playing games involving occult themes, and video games that involve occult themes. Amulets and talismans, things worn for protection against evil spirits. Some of these are words, like I said, it's not a practice, but ascended masters. Ascended masters is where people believe they have contacted either angelic beings or those who have lived before and have ascended to a higher state of being, and they become a spirit guide for them and lead them into deeper understanding. What they actually lead them into is self-destruction. Automatic writing or typing or drawing or painting, that's when people practice where they allow themselves to come under an outside influence and they just begin to write, and it begins to happen and they don't know what they're writing as it comes, but they write all kind of incredible things and it comes straight from hell. The word avatar, which comes out of Hinduism, it means the incarnation of a deity in either animal or human form. It is an occult demonic spirit that is taken on human or animal form, and they believe in this, and they enter into communication with these things. Bloody Mary, which is a game that's been played by children for years by standing in front of a mirror and repeating some incantation and seeing what they see. These are open doorways to the enemy. Circles of protection. Clairvoyance, which is seeing into the future. It's not the same thing as prophecy. Clairvoyance, seeing into the future. And clairaudience, which is hearing messages from another realm. Here in Arizona, something that's real popular is dream catchers. They may be very beautiful, but dream catchers have produced all kind of demonic harassment for people who own them until they got rid of them and renounced what they were. Kachina dolls, yoga, Freemasonry, which shocks many people, pendulums and dowsing sticks, water witching, trying to locate things through these methods. Pentagrams, which is a witchcraft symbol. And I've done this on another occasion on Sunday night, and I wasn't going to do it tonight. There's a whole list of occult symbols that are popular. You find them on jewelry. You find that Egyptian eye. I forgot the name of it at the moment. But all of these things that people love to have, the yin-yang. If I see somebody with a yin-yang in this church, I'm going to tell you, you need to get rid of it. It's an abomination to God. It's everywhere you look, but it's an abomination to God because it denies Jesus Christ. The yin-yang says that there's good in evil and that there's evil in good and that these are two opposing forces and that there's not one God. It is the symbol of Taoism, which is a religion of the Orient. Praying to Mary, saints and angels. You know, we're told to pray to the Lord, aren't we? I don't want to get too controversial for you here, but you start praying to Mary and you start praying to departed saints, then you're violating what the Word of God says about necromancy and about speaking to the dead. So then when you get a vision and Mary appears to you and begins to direct you, where is that coming from? Runestones are small clay tiles used in witchcraft. Scientology, the Church of Scientology, founded by L. Ron Hubbard, was deep into Satanism, and it's a godless mind science, occultic religion. John Travolta is its shining star. Self-hypnosis. All of these things are open doorways. Shamanism, which is doing magic, working with animal spirits. Sorcery, any form of magic. I've already mentioned spiritualistic churches. Table tipping, if you know what that is. It's kind of like the Ouija board in a sense. Vampirism, role-playing, involving these things. It's a huge cult here in this state of young people who are vampires doing role-playing, and they actually cut each other and they drink each other's blood and act out as though they are vampires. It's part of the Gothic movement and part of the death culture. All of that is birthed right out of hell. Just birthed right out of hell. It's an open doorway to demonic things. So if you want to invite demonic harassment, then you stay involved with these things. But if you want to be free from it, then we'll talk about that as we close. There are a few other areas that invite demonic harassment. Some you couldn't help, but you can close the doorway with the help of the Lord. One is children who have been extremely physically abused. Sometimes that is an open doorway in their life because of the anger and the hate and the doorway that opens in that case. Addiction to drugs and alcohol opens the mind up to demonic realities, and pornography does also. Now, it may seem extreme when I say, if there's even anything in your house that's related to any of these things, it needs to go. You say, but I'm a Christian and I don't believe in that. It's just an object. I want to ask you a question. Who is your allegiance and your love towards? Let me speak to the married ones for a moment. Husbands, if your wife absolutely, I got to think of something fast here, Lord help me. If your wife absolutely hates olives and they offend her, I mean, it's just this horrible thing in her life, are you going to have them in the house? Are you going to have them? Don't you love her? Are you going to have olives in your house if it causes great offense and it wounds the one that you love? I know that's a crazy example, but no, you're not, because you love her and your allegiance is not to the olives, your allegiance is to her. The Lord, all the way through the Old Testament, said all of these practices, their idols, their objects that they use, all of these are an abomination to me. Get them out of your houses. I don't even want them in the land of Israel. Cast them out of the land. Get them away from you. And Paul tells us why. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Verse verse 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, speaking of those who sacrifice to idols, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. So the word, clearly, it's amazing because now Isaiah and Ezekiel and all, they make fun of the heathen with their idols. They say, isn't it absurd that a man will take a piece of wood and he will cut it down with his own hands and he will carve it and shape it with his own hands? It has no power. He cuts it, he carves it, he shapes it, and then he turns around and falls down and worships it. How ridiculous. That's what the Old Testament prophet said about that. Paul says, don't you understand that the heathen who do that aren't just sacrificing to a piece of wood? It is the spirit that's behind that thing. Because when you begin to seek guidance and power and help and knowledge or whatever it may be apart from the living God, demons are attracted to that. You open the doorway. And so he says, what they are actually sacrificing to is demons, and I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. As your pastor, I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. I don't want you to have a yin-yang stuck on your bumper sticker of your car. Don't worry, I haven't seen that on any of yours. So, I don't want you to have objects in your house. You know, we had a hair-raising experience. Before I entered full-time ministry, I was an elder at the church in Georgia, and we had a pastor and his wife who moved in. They had been solicited and interviewed from long distance. I think they were in Texas or Oklahoma. And they came and they were accepted as pastor of the church. And as they moved in and we got to know them, they were different. You may say back, Maggie and I are different too. They were different. And I like eccentric people, so that's okay with me. And so they were different. And we just embraced them and loved them and began to get to know them. And things began to come up. Things began to come out about who they were and about their past. And I don't hold anybody's past against them that's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This man and his wife, this man had been a high priest in Satanism, in witchcraft. And his wife, right alongside him, they were extremely involved in the cult. He was a practicer of astral projection, of out-of-body travel, which at that time in my life I didn't know a lot about, and it fascinated me. And so we would talk about these things and began to find out that I don't know, because problems developed in the relationships, problems developed in the church. There were deep, deep problems in the church because these people would deliberately wound people and hurt people. It was a horrible season of our life at that church. And apparently these things had not been totally renounced. There had not been a complete deliverance as we learned about these things later and looked back, because he confided in me that he still had out-of-body experiences that he couldn't control, that in the night he would feel himself slipping out of his body. And, I mean, he knew that that was witchcraft, that was satanic, that it was demonic, but he couldn't help it. And his wife, she knew when he was going into that state, she recognized it and she knew what to do to keep it from happening. I'm just like, okay. So you open the door and you play, and you pay. And I remember that they came down to our house one night. I don't know how many of these things were deliberate on their part. I don't want to accuse them falsely. They came down to our house one night bearing gifts. They had stuff for us. They came to eat dinner with us. And they presented us with this beautiful little red Buddha. Isn't that a great gift for your pastor to bring you? Needless to say, it got booted out. But You don't want something in your house that is a decorative item. And you just say, well, it's just decoration. But God looks at it and says, why would you want as a decoration something that has come out of a belief system that dishonors me and is demonic? And so when we play lightly with those things, then we invite harassment. We invite problems in our lives. So how do we, what is the remedy? Maybe there's someone sitting here tonight and you said, you know what, I went to a hypnotist one time. Maybe there's somebody sitting here tonight and say, you know what, I've been playing around with tarot cards. Or someone who's sitting here tonight and said, you know, I've practiced out-of-body travel or whatever the thing may be, or I read my horoscope every day. This is what you need to do. And we'll close in prayer tonight in a few minutes, is to confess the activity of sin before God and ask for forgiveness. Renounce that activity before God and tell Him that you will never participate in it again. Burn or throw away all books, objects, or items associated with that activity. Remember when Paul went to, was it Ephesus, where they brought out all of their magic books and it was a wealth. It was incredible. It was thousands of dollars by today's standards. They brought out all of their books on magic arts to the city square and they burned them when they heard the message of the gospel. So get rid of all those things. Don't give it to somebody. Don't pass it along. Don't take it to Goodwill so somebody else can pick it up and put it in their house. You say, but my record collection is so valuable to me and my CDs, but you've got pentagrams all over them. Don't take them down to Bookman's and trade them in. Give them to somebody else. If you believe what the Word of God says, burn them, break them, get rid of them. And then you need to speak directly to the enemy of your soul. You need to say, Satan, I no longer have any affiliation with this. I'm a redeemed child of God. I have renounced those things before God. And I tell you to leave any harassment, any open doorway that's come because of that is now closed because of the blood of Jesus, because I've submitted this to God and you have no authority to bring any kind of repercussions upon my life. And I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. That's it. And stand on the Word of God. So let's stand. I said I wouldn't do this, but I just have to throw this in. Wednesday night is not innocent. Not for those who know the truth that I've just given in the Word of God. Amen. It's not innocent. And the Bible gives us clear guidelines as to how we are. You know, we got something in the mail the other day. It was promoting a book on this subject. The mailman brought it in. The Lord's even dealing with the mailman. And he pointed it out to us. And it talked about how a new Barna study, a new Barna research poll, reveals how the world and how most of the world sees Christians now as just like the world and not standing for Christ in any way. And I just invite you, if you're going to say that you're a Christian, you're going to be different. Get over it. Quit trying to make everything blend so that you can not let your children be different. I know there's repercussions for that. I know there's struggles in families because kids want to be like everybody else. But who are you going to stand with? Truth and the Lord or deception and the enemy? It's a very real, real thing. So let's just go to the Lord, ask for Him to direct our lives. Holy Spirit, I just call upon You to reveal to the hearts that are gathered here tonight, if there is an area that is an abomination to You, if there is a thing of any kind in the life that displeases You, that has come out of some culture of death or some culture of occult bondage, Lord, that You would reveal it. Some incident in the past that needs to be renounced. Lord, we know that the cross is the remedy for it all. Lord, as You reveal to us, You call us to repent. Some current practice, some object that we have in our house, Lord, that You would bring it to remembrance. Lord, I just pray that You would lead each person into a place of obedience in this. Lord, that we would not look like the world and especially the enemy's world, but that we would look like You, Jesus. We confess to You these things for those to whom perhaps God has revealed something in your own heart right now. Just agree with me as we say, Lord, I renounce these things. I ask for Your forgiveness. I ask for Your cleansing. Lord, I just lift this thing before You and I tell You that I renounce it and I will never participate in it again. And I ask You, Lord God, to free me from anything that is a result of my involvement in that. Satan, I tell You that You have no power and no authority over me. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb and I am yielded to God in this moment. All doors are closed to the enemy. You have no power over me. In Jesus' name. Lord, let us be filled with Your Spirit. Lord, let there be no legal ground that is being held by the enemy. Lord, that we would be totally and completely Yours. And I just thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay where you are. And if Tia Leah will come, and Jeremy. We're taking Liz to the airport right after service, so I'm not going to wet myself again today. That sounded bad, didn't it? Neither am I going to freeze myself. But Leah, who has done so much to plant the Word in our kids, and I'm going to assist her. So Jeremy, if you'll step over into the water and step up toward the front. And Jeremy, what we're going to do, since this isn't a very deep tank, is when Leah baptizes you and she says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're going to just sit down, lay down backwards in the water, and then we'll lift you back up, okay? So, Jeremy, you've received Jesus as your Savior. You believe that He died and that He rose again on the third day, and He's your Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, here we go. Whoops. I think this tank is an act of faith. I think there are going to be more baptisms because we're prepared. Amen? Let's pray for Jeremy in closing. Father, we come before Your throne and we thank You for Jeremy. We thank You for a heart that was tender before You to respond to You and to come, Lord, understanding that this is a life of surrender to You. Lord, help him to grow in maturity and strength as a child of God. We pray that You would fill him with Your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, that You would protect him from every tactic of the enemy, that You would give him great wisdom as he grows, and that You would raise him up to be a great man of God who will serve You faithfully all the days of his life. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people in agreement. Amen. 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 God bless you.